Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
We're in a series right now in the book of Ephesians called Working with Grace. Turn the person next to you and say, you're not working alone. You are working with grace. If you have ever dealt with shame or condemnation before, today is for you. If you've ever found yourself in a struggle that you just can't seem to break free from, today is for you. There's so much packed into Ephesians, the second chapter, that I want you to get an understanding of this morning because it has set you free. How many of you understand the truth has the ability to set you free? But it's not just the truth alone, it is the truth we own. I've got to know the truth. I've got to lean into the truth. I've got to learn how to walk in the truth even when I don't feel like it's true to me. Does that make sense? There will be many things that you will find in Scripture that may not feel true to you in the moment, but I've got to own it and say, if God has said it, then it is mine, because he is not a man that he should lie. Wherever his word goes, it prospers. And so today I declare over me and my family that his word is working in my life. Now you've got to do that for your family. Listen, I pray for you guys all the time. I want you to know that. I pray for you. But beyond my prayer, you've got to start taking some of this stuff and owning it. You've got to start applying it. You've got to start taking possession of it and going after it. Say, today, I'm going after it. Are y'all ready to have a good time? Yeah. It's okay for you to get a little excited. It's okay for you to talk back. If you're new to church, just say whatever comes to your mind first. Maybe not. My dad was praying for a guy. This is a side note. But my dad was praying for a guy one time in service. And he said, did God touch you? And the guy said, yeah. Dad said, did God really touch you? And the guy said, yes. Dad said, did God touch you? He said, hell yeah, he touched me. And I love them honest Christians. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Did you hear that? Made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that anyone may boast. Paul is walking us through our past life and our present reality. And he's wanting us to understand that we do not have the ability to get ourselves from point A to point B. Only the grace of God can do that. Only the grace of God can reposition you from darkness into light. If you do not understand that, you're going to live very frustrated, or you're going to live very self-righteous. Neither are good. You have to understand that you do not save you. It's not about how much good you can do. It's not about how tight and right you wear your hair. It's not about how you dress. It's not about whether you have earrings or don't have earrings. It's not about whether you have tattoos or don't have tattoos. So many things that we have heard along the way that have built this identity and this idol that we have that we call Christ Jesus, that Christ Jesus has nothing to do with. It is only by grace, through faith in what he has done. If you want to see transformation in your life, and I believe that we should all desire transformation, we have to understand the power of grace that gets us where we need to be and keeps us seated there. Did you hear what I said? We have to understand the power of grace to get us where we need to be and keep us seated there. And we also need to have some grace for ourselves when we mess up. Because if we don't have grace for when we mess up, then we put ourselves in the seat of shame. We put ourselves in the seat of condemnation. And the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's already set you free. We're just learning how to walk in the freedom that we already have. And sometimes that looks really messy. Sometimes that looks really ugly. But I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what your opinion of me is. I'm going to keep on moving towards where I already am. I was here, but now I am seated with him in heavenly places. I'm already there. I'm just learning how to live in my new reality. Somebody say, grace did it for me. Grace did it for me. I need to have some grace for myself. I need to have some grace for others. I wonder how many people have been shoved out of the church because they have not seen the grace of God from us. Not Activation Church. We're going to be a people who love. We're going to be a people who show mercy. We're going to be a people who show kindness. We're going to be a people who show grace because we understand that it is the grace of God that transforms the heart and the life of the people. It is the kindness of God, the Bible says, that leads to repentance. Now get what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's okay to live however you want. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is the more you lean into the grace of God and what he has done for you, and the more aware you become of your new reality, the more change you're going to see and transformation you're going to see in your heart and life. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verse 11, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Again, he's talking about where we used to be, without hope, without God. But somebody say, that's not where I am anymore. But now in Christ, I want you to get that word. But now, not sometime in the future, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came, Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. In Ephesians, the second chapter, which I love, Paul is taking us through a process. He's showing us our former life and taking us into our present reality. He's letting us know that this is who we were, but this is who we are. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was on a path that led to destruction, but now I'm on a path that leads to life. I was a child of wrath, but now I'm a child of God. Are you following me this morning? I was, but now I am. There's been a change of positions. The grace of God has moved me from a place of no hope without God to a place to where I am now, there's the word, now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm seated in Activation Church. Yes, your physical body may be seated right here, right now, but at the same time, you are also seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. This was my story. This is my story. I may remember this chair. I got some pictures of this chair. I got some video footage out there somewhere of this chair. I've got memories of this chair. I may remember it, but I do not relate to it. That's important. I may remember where I was, but I don't relate with that because that is not who I am. Now I relate to this, where I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. He has changed my position, but my responsibility is to change my perspective. Somebody say, you've got to change your perspective. You've got to understand the power of your mind and the power of how you think and your imagination. I was going through a book a couple years ago with my wife called Atomic Habits. And the idea was taking you through a process of how to break habits in your life. And one of the key things to breaking a habit in your life was changing your identity. Think about this. One of the key things to changing a habit was first changing the identity, seeing yourself as not that person anymore, but this person. For instance, let's just say you're someone, you're trying to quit smoking. Now, let me just be upfront with you. Smoking will not send you to hell. Let me just go ahead and deliver you from that. My dad used to say, smoking won't send you to hell, brother, but it sure make you smell like it. Yeah. But let's say you are a smoker, you're trying to quit. Now you're out and about, somebody offers you a cigarette. One perspective will say, I'm trying to quit. The other perspective will say, I'm not a smoker. Why? Because I've changed my identity. I know that there are some of you in here that you have gone through the process of restoration after addiction. Some of you in here, you may still be wrestling with an addiction. And I am for recovery. I am for recovery programs. Understand? I think they are super helpful. But there's one thing that I think should be kind of changed within the recovery process, where people always, I'm always an addict. So they'll be like, I'm an addict in recovery. But I believe it would be more helpful to say, I was an addict, now I'm set free, and I'm continuing in my freedom. Why, Jessica? Because this is who I was. But it is no longer who I am, because I've already been seated with Christ in heavenly places. I already have the freedom. I've just got to change my perspective. And the more aware I become of my new reality, the farther I'll get away from my past self. You don't fix your past self by staring at your past self. Why? Because you're going to go towards what you look at. You're going to go towards what you stare at. We were talking about it in the office this morning before service. One of the first things they taught me when I was learning how to ride a motorcycle is your bike's going to go wherever you look. So if there's something you're trying to not hit, don't look at it. Because sure enough, you're going to hit that thing. Why? Because our focus takes us in a direction. And so works-based relationship with God is like this. I'm always staring at this person. I'm always staring at my faults, my failures, my sins, my problems, and I'm going, God, I'll get it right. I'll get it right. I promise I'll get it right. And we do good for a little bit, and then we mess up, and we go right back to our seat of shame and condemnation. We'll go, oh, I'm such a failure. I'm such a failure. I can't make it. I'll never make it. But this is who I am. We begin to own this chair instead of going, no, I'm going to keep on moving, because even though I may not feel like I'm seated here, that's where I am. So I'm not going to stare at this chair. I'm going to stare at this chair, because Jesus is where my victory is. Jesus is where my freedom is. Jesus has the power to break my chain. I don't. Doesn't mean that I don't put in some effort. It doesn't mean that I don't do anything. But my main responsibility is to stare at that chair. You want to know one thing that Aram Meshagan has gotten really good at? Trying to stare at that chair. Because if I get too caught up with that one, I become a miserable human being. But how many of us in here live mentally right here, even though the reality is we're already here, in the place where everything I need exists? That's why I talk about leaning into His grace and having grace for yourself, because His grace got you here. Don't you think it's got to be His grace that keeps you here? Not your works. Understanding the grace of God is what will produce the proper work through you. The Bible says that, let me just read it to you. Right here it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So there are things that we should walk in. There are things that should manifest in our life. There is fruit that should appear on the vine. But God is the one who has prepared that to work in us by simply resting in the place that we have been seated. The mind that has stayed on the Lord is kept at perfect peace. I was thinking about that the other day. But perfect peace isn't tranquility. Perfect peace is proper position. That no matter what's going on in life, no matter what I go through, I'm okay because I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. Can I show y'all something? I want you to see this. Because to catch the power of what Paul is saying to us in Ephesians 2, we've got to rewind back to Ephesians 1. So let's go there together. Ephesians 1, I'm going to start in verse 16. I'm loving me some Ephesians right now. Ephesians 1, verse 16 says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. See, God wants us to have a revelation of what he has done. There are some things he wants us to know. There are some things he wants us to see. Why? Because knowing that truth is what brings us into freedom. He says he wants us to know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Pay attention to verse 21, where Jesus is seated, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Tell the person next to you, he's put all things under his feet. Now here's the revelation of this. This is what God wants you to see. Going back to Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If Jesus is seated in a position of victory and authority, and I am seated with him, where am I? I am with Christ, which means I am in a position of authority and victory. I don't have to wrestle with the things I used to wrestle with because I've already got victory over them. I don't have to fight and battle the sin that I used to fight and battle because I've already got victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't have to wrestle with temptation anymore because that temptation is under my feet if I understand where I am seated with him in heavenly places. That's why I'm telling you today, the key to breakthrough is understanding where you are seated and understanding that you've already got authority over everything that used to bind you. Why? Because you are no longer bound. If you are in Christ, you are free indeed. I've just got to start learning to live free indeed by taking authority over that. I've got to learn in my life that the grace of God draws me to the cross of Christ, where the blood of Jesus was shed for my sins. And when I repent of my sins and I put my faith in Jesus Christ, everything that I was, I no longer am. The Bible says that he separates my sin as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no longer. So here's the key. The grace of God brings me to the cross where the blood of Jesus can do its work, which cleanses me. But too many Christians stay right here at the foot of the cross, always remembering their sin, always remembering their past, always remembering their failure, living in a state of permanent repentance. Now, listen, when you sin, you repent. And he is faithful to forgive. Which means I don't have to go back and sit and time out for a little while before Jesus will, But honestly, I mean, don't raise your hand, but how many of you, honestly, you feel like you've got to go to the timeout chair? You'll see people do that in church, like they'll be good with God and they sit down really close, but then they mess up, they disappear for a few weeks, and then when they decide they need Jesus again, they start in the back row, and the better they do, the closer they come. So if you're looking at, if you're sitting on the back row, just look to your right and left, because I'm just kidding. The people who are good with Jesus are right down here, and you can see there ain't many of them. Front rows will be slam-packed next week. But get what I'm saying, you don't have to go back to the timeout chair. You know why? Because he remembers it no more. Why are we rehearsing things that he will not remember? Living at the foot of the cross, such a worm as I. Oh, such a worm as I. I'm a failure. No, you're not. I'm a sinner. No, you're not. Not once you have come here. But see, I've got to learn that I don't just come to the cross. I live through the cross, because this is where my new life in Christ is waiting. Hear me, church. Hear me, church. Transformation is not about remembering this. It's not about rehearsing this. It's not about punishing yourself over and over again for this. It's about understanding what Jesus has done. And when I become aware of what he has done for me that I did not do for myself, and I begin to praise him for what he's done, and I remain seated where he has placed me, that's when change will begin to happen. Why? Because I'm living from victory. My perspective has changed now. I see life from this chair and not this chair. I see life from this chair and not the foot of the cross. But see, we're really good at staring at the chair that we used to sit in. But we need to get a revelation of the chair that we are in. And that's what Paul is wanting us to see in Ephesians, the second chapter. We all were here. None of us are exempt. We all were here. But now, if you are in Christ, you're no longer there. You're here. And I need to understand that the grace of God brought me from this place. And the grace of God is the only thing that can keep me where I am. So many times we live like at any moment we're going to be just snatched out of the hand of God. And that's not biblically true. If we are in Christ, we are seated with him in heavenly places. The Bible says that we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The work has already been accomplished. The battle has already been won. But what has to happen is what Paul talks about in the book of Romans, where we learn to become a living sacrifice. That means I learn to live from here. And I allow my mind to be renewed. I allow my mind to be transformed. Why is that very important? Because if I don't allow him to transform the way I think, I'll continue to conform myself to that chair, even though I'm not there. Even though I'll be in heaven, I may live in hell here, because my mind remains there. But if I can just remember and remind myself, and every day you need to remind yourself that that is not who I am. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not a loser. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I always move forward. I never move backwards. I have victory because everything that is under his feet is now under my feet, because I am seated with him in heavenly places. Own that. Believe that. Listen, I would be a liar if I sat here and told you that I'm a perfect man. I would be a liar if I sat here and told you that I get everything right all the time. I don't. I don't get it right. I have my fair share of messing up. But I've learned to not live there, in that place of shame and condemnation. I've learned to live in the place of what Christ has done for me. And that's where I've seen transformation happen in my life. That's where I've seen Aram begin to love people that he would not have otherwise loved. That's where I've seen Aram learn to forgive people that have done him wrong. It's not because I made a conscious decision to forgive them. It's just I'm living in a different seat now. I'm so awareness of the forgiveness of God on my life, I can't help but to want to forgive them. I'm so aware of the love of Jesus Christ that he has for me that it makes me want to love the people around me because they are created in his image and likeness also. If you knew me back when I was a little bit younger, I had a really sharp tongue. I mean, they used to call me Mac the Knife. Because I would cut and devour with my tongue. I would make you feel this big. I was really good at that. But that's not who I am anymore. Why? Because I've become aware of where I'm seated. Doesn't mean that I may slip up. I may mess up. But I get back up. And I keep on moving. That's really what I want to see for you in your life, is that when you mess up, you get back up and you keep on moving. Stop going back to that chair. Stop beating yourself up. Start reminding yourself, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. Because if you keep on focusing on that chair, you're mentally going to take yourself back to that place. And you'll start bearing some of that fruit again in your life. But if I can see that I am seated, that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that's when things will begin to change.